John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 2. It's also mentioned over in Matthew 27, but in John 19, verse 2, we read, "And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head." Let's look to the Lord, please, briefly in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the scripture teaching, even upon the subject of thorns, that even as we think upon the thorns, we can see clearly the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, even as we thought this morning of the animal, the donkey, there we saw the story of the gospel. And now as we think about thorns, again, we are going to be reminded that there's only one way of salvation, and that is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for he who became the willing substitute for sinners, who bore that sentence upon himself for those that trust in him. Do be with us and guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. What a great chapter of Scripture John 19 is that describes the greatest event in the world's history, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting, as you go through the chapter, there are various objects mentioned. The crown of thorns, you have the robe, you have the signboard above where he was crucified, you have, of course, the cross itself, you have the hyssop that's mentioned in the chapter, you have the garden tomb that's mentioned, you have the spear with which the soldier, remember, thrust his side after he had died. There are many objects. It's been pointed out that you can study what happened at Calvary by looking at the objects. You know how an archaeologist can take an object. Now, you see them in museums, and they'll hold up a piece of pottery, and they'll say, back then, this culture lived in such a way and such a way. And archaeologists are people who can tell you much about the past by looking at various objects. And it's interesting, career an archaeologist. Someone said an archaeologist is a person whose career is in ruins, yet he makes money. I don't know if you ever read Agatha Christie detective novels, but Agatha Christie's husband was an archaeologist. And he said she was glad she was married to an archaeologist because the older she got, the more he became interested in her because he was an archaeologist. Well, I don't know if that's true or not, but you all know, I'm sure, what an archaeologist is. They look at old objects and they can tell you things that happened, and you wonder, how can they tell you all that from an object? Well, when we come to spiritual archaeology, if you like, and you take time when you read this chapter and just pause and think about the robe, think about the spear, think about that signboard, and so on, it'll tell you a lot about why Christ was dying on the cross. It'll tell you a lot about the Savior's love. It'll tell you a lot about sin and the horror of sin and the heinous and hellish nature of sin. And it will tell you a lot about the wonder of God's salvation. So tonight we're thinking about the crown of thorns. I, of course, was reminded when I saw those thorns, the first thought when we looked at them was to think, my, does that not remind you of the crown of thorns put upon the Savior's head? When you see those thorns growing and the twigs coming out, and how it would be so easy, well, of course, to be very careful to do it, but to put it into a wreath. Thought of the crown of thorns that the Savior wore when he died for us. The Bible mentions thorns often. You can take a concordance and look at it. The first mention of a word is always very important. And the first mention of thorns is in Genesis 3. We read it. When Adam fell, God caused thorns to come upon the plants as part of the punishment for sin, as part of the curse. And thorns symbolize punishment, symbolizes judgment. In fact, over in the book of Judges, chapter 8, you'll read there where twice in the chapter it tells us that some men were beaten with thorns to teach them, it says, because of their wickedness. Thorns are a symbol of punishment and of judgment. And here it is interesting that the Lord of glory, the creator of this world, the Lord Jesus Christ, the man who never sinned, yet we see him crowned with thorns upon his lovely brow. Three things about the crown of thorns. You think of the cruelty of men. This was the Son of God, and yet they took that thorns and they plaited it into a wreath. Now, when the Bible says in verse 2 of John 19 a crown, of course, don't be thinking of a crown that our Queen would wear on state occasions. That's not what the word means. The word means a wreath. The Olympic Games, I think they're starting fairly soon, I'm not sure the date or whatever, but it used to be in the days of the Bible when Christ was alive, and the Olympic Games that were held then, and they were held back then, in Christ's day, there were stadiums that were very, very large, and they had races. And the winner didn't get a gold medal, but they got a crown, literally a wreath. It was a wreath that was placed around the brow. It was a wreath of laurels. You ever heard the expression, don't rest on your laurels? It was a wreath of laurels. And the winner, the victor at the Olympic Games got that. Also, important people would wear that wreath of honor. The emperor was often depicted wearing the wreath, the crown. That's what the word means. We don't know which soldier or how exactly it happened, but obviously a soldier or soldiers decided, let's mock Christ. And one or more went out and got a thorn bush. I don't know if it was an acacia. It may have been, because they grew there. And they decided not to make a wreath of olive or of, may surprise you, parsley. Sometimes they put in people's head, but mostly it was a laurel. But they said, we'll make a crown out of these thorns and we'll put it upon his brow. And you think of the injury of the cruelty. Can you imagine these type of thorns being put into your brow and beaten down into the skull with a reed? That's what they did to the Saviour. And John 19 describes the cruelty. It says they scourged him. That was the Roman scourging. The Jews would have whipped as well 39 times. But this was a punishment performed by Romans. History tells us a man called a lictor was trained in how to use that whip. On each of the ends of the leather thongs was a piece of bone or a piece of metal. And often it says when the first stroke hit a man, he trembled. And it would literally dig into the flesh of the back or the chest and literally rip the body apart and the blood would flow. History says that sometimes men died as they were being scourged. Some men went mad with the pain. And the Lord Jesus Christ suffered that cruelty of man. He who is your Creator, the one that gives you life, even as you sit here tonight, the one who keeps your heart beating. Because if he withdrew his hand, you'd be dead. When we were in Kenya, one of the men interpreted for me on the last Sunday we were there. He said that he hadn't been at the graduation service the day before. And he said, I couldn't be there. My cousin died, age 25. They're doing an autopsy, and I think it's the heart, but he never had any trouble. But he just... Yet Christ is the Prince of Life, holds our breath and our life in his hands. And yet that's the one who has been crowned with these thorns, and he's under the scourging, he's under the cruelty. Have you ever had your finger pricked at the roses? Yep. Well, can you imagine the long eastern thorns going into your brow? The pain. It reminds us of the injury that Christ endured, the cruelty of it. And men can be cruel. Oh, sometimes even children can be cruel in schools to children maybe that are different. You sometimes hear of maybe some child with a particular handicap and how others can be so cruel. Oh, the cruelty of man against the person that always did good. Think of the insult of the cruelty. The injury, then the insult. They were doing this out of mockery. Some commentators think there was a game that the soldiers would play with their victims, and they would dress them up in a robe. Well, certainly that may be true, but I think it's obvious that they were insulting the Saviour by making him appear to be a king in mockery. You see, if you go to a museum, you'll see the Roman coins of that period. The emperor of all the Roman Empire, they used to put his inscription, just as you know you have a coin, 20p or whatever. And you look at it and there's the inscription of the queen. Well, in those days, coins had the inscription of the emperor. And he would have that wreath, the laurel wreath, upon his brow. There was a royal robe, which was, of course, purple. And he would hold a scepter. That's a type of rod that symbolized his authority and power. That's the coins that were in use. That's the coins that were in use in that time that the soldiers would have got. Everybody knew it. And so what they did was, this man claims to be a king. All right then, we'll worship him as king. And somebody got an old purple robe and they took Christ's clothes off him and threw the old purple robe over him. They got a reed in imitation of a golden scepter. And then somebody had the idea, well, if he's a king, let's give him a wreath, the wreath crown. Let's go and get some thorns and beat them into his brow. And when you read the gospel accounts, it says they knelt down before him. O king, O king. And then it says they spat in his face. Repeatedly the word means. Men cleared their throat, and that worst insult I suppose you could give to another person, they spat full in his face. And then they blindfolded him. And they began to punch him in the face and slap him and say, tell us which one did it. Prophesy. You say you're a king and a prophet. Which one of us hit you? And they were mocking the King of Kings. What cruelty. What cruelty. How that ought to move our hearts. What a cruel age in which we live. It was a cruel age back then, a violent age. Our society, of course, is becoming violent. They tell me the violent video games and things that are in the market. Of course, the experts coming on tell you, oh, it does no harm, it's only a game, it's only fantasy. Isn't it funny how experts have no common sense? How could you look for hours at games that are killing and slicing off people's heads? You know, of course, imagine, but how could you watch all that without being affected? It's common sense. And yet, from what I read, those are big sellers today in games. And teenagers will sometimes sit for hours playing games, slicing off people's heads. They tell me I haven't really seen them with so graphic depictions of blood and violence. We live in a violent, violent age. But this was cruelty, not just against another fellow man. It was cruelty against the Son of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Lord endured it willingly. Willingly. He submitted to that. Of course, there's a lovely thought there, by the way. I think of that hymn, it's not an easy road. We're traveling to heaven and many are the thorns on the way. But Jesus walks beside us. In other words, Christian, you'll have thorns in your life. I don't mean now literal thorns like this that we mentioned, but you'll have sorrows and troubles and trials. And isn't it good to know the Lord Jesus Christ understands? Because he suffered. He endured pain. But then the cruelty against Christ, they're still doing it today. They're still doing it today. Because we live in an age where the name of Jesus is taken as a profanity. And what they're doing is symbolically, if you like, plaiting a crown of thorns upon his brow. That's what it is. When you hear the name of Jesus used as a curse word, when you read of the people of God being persecuted and laughed at, maybe a young Christian and they're just saved and they go in and tell their friends, I'm converted now, and some might say, and I trust they do, that's great. And others, ha, one of these goody-goodies, or one of the, and the laugh. They're plotting a crown of thorns. Because you remember Saul persecuted Christians. And the Lord appeared. What did the Lord say? Saul, why are you persecuting Christians? No. Why are you persecuting me? Because when you touch a believer, you're touching Christ. You see, the world still puts the crown of thorns upon the Savior, attacking his claims, attacking his standards. They laugh at the scripture. They say that there's no need to follow Christ. They mock him. They still do that today. The cruelty of the crown of thorns. But think about the necessity. The necessity that the crown of thorns was placed upon the Savior. Why was it necessary? Why did the Savior willingly allow these wicked, evil men to put those thorns into his brow and to beat them in until the blood flowed? Why? It was necessary. Why? Because of the problem of sin. Because you and I are condemned to die because we're descended from Adam. God said, the day that you eat of the fruit, you shall die. And of course, the descendants from him. Adam disobeyed God. Sin came into the world. Death by sin, Romans 5 tells us. And so, thorns is a picture of the curse. And the curse of God is upon us. That's what thorns symbolize. The field will yield thorns. And it's a symbol that you and I are cursed. When you go near the acacia bush and walking through, you have to be careful. Sometimes when you're going through the trails, they say, now watch out for those thorns. Watch out. Why? Because thorns hurt. And by the fact that God caused thorns to come on plants. In the Garden of Eden, there were roses without thorns. Thorns only came because of sin. But every thorn is teaching that sin hurts. Sin brings judgment. Sin at the beginning looks alluring. It looks beautiful. It looks attractive. And that's why we sin. You see, sin said, the world and the flesh and the devil say, go ahead and try it. Go ahead and disobey God. Go ahead and sin and you'll like it. It'll bring you happiness. It'll bring you joy. It won't. There are pleasures for a season. But it's short. And then comes the thorns, the pain, the sorrow, and of course, eternally, it'll damn us. It's because of the problem of sin that Christ bore that. Because the crown of thorns placed upon his brow shows the provision for sin. Christ took our curse. Can you see when those soldiers took the thorns that made it into a wreath, they placed it upon his brow. What's the thorns again? Symbol of the curse. And they place it upon the head of the Savior. What's happening? That's a picture. That's an illustration of what happened at the cross. You see, God took the sin, the wrath, the punishment of his people. And he placed it upon Christ because sin has to be punished. God is holy. He must punish sin. But the great story of the gospel is substitution. That God took our sins and he placed them upon Christ. And he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Genesis 3, what was the curse again? The symbols of the curse? Sorrow. He became the man of sorrows. We sang about it. Sweat. That was another one. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweat great drops of blood. Sweat is only mentioned 3 times in the Bible, by the way. Genesis 3, part of the curse. Ezekiel 44, where it says that a priest had to wear linen garments, not wool, when he went into the holy place, because linen didn't cause sweat the way wool would. Because sweat was not to come into the holiest. And now, we told at the crucifixion, or the Gethsemane, just before the crucifixion, Christ sweated great drops of blood to bear the curse.
for us. And then there was death. Christ died. He took the curse for us. The fourth symbol of the curse in Genesis 3 was the thorns.
That's the necessity why he was crowned with thorns. You see, he took our curse. God is telling us in John 19, if you don't know Christ as your Savior tonight, this is what he's saying through the thorns. That's the thorns cause pain. That's what you will endure from sin. You may say, oh, but I don't feel any pain in sin. I'll live my own life without God. I'm my own boss. Listen, thorns will come. You'll feel the pain one day. It'll be eternal pain if you don't trust Christ and are redeemed. But the thorns are teaching us salvation is provided in Christ. He is the bearer of the curse. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Galatians 3:13. He became a curse for us. He bore the curse. That's what it's talking about here. This is the necessity of the cross. Because when he was crowned with thorns, he bore the penalty. He bore the bitter sorrow. Remember the hymn, the bitter sorrow that he bore. And oh, the crown of thorns he wore, that I might live forevermore, is more than tongue can tell. By the way, do you remember in Genesis 22, God gave Abraham a wonderful, you could say, picture of Calvary. It was an object lesson, if you like, a wonderful picture when he told Abraham to take his son, to put him upon the altar to slay his son. And just at the moment when he was about to plunge the dagger in, God said, stop. I provided a lamb. Where did Abraham see it? It was caught by its head in a thicket. Now, the word in the Hebrew in Genesis 22 is a thicket of thorns. He looked, and there, probably by the horns of that ram, was caught there. It was caught in a thicket of thorns. If you want to take it further, you could say it was crowned with thorns. And that ram died in the place of Isaac. What a picture of salvation. And here we have the perfect Lamb of God. And as he goes out to be crucified to pay for our sin, he has the thorns upon his brow. No wonder it says Abraham rejoiced to see Christ's day. Tonight we look back and we thank God that Christ took our sins to the tree. Abraham looked forward. Oh, the crown of thorns teaches us the necessity of our Redeemer. The crown of thorns, the cruelty, the necessity. Ah, but listen, it was a crown, a wreath. It speaks of their royalty. You may say, well, it was a mockery. I don't see much royalty here. Listen. Christ was still king there on Calvary. He was still king when the soldiers placed the crown of thorns upon his brow. He was and always is king. When he was born, he of course was born king of the Jews. And here in this passage in John 19 and verse 5, it says, Jesus came forth in front of the people and he's wearing the crown. And Pilate said, behold the man. My, what a man. The wonderful man of Calvary. The perfect man. The God man. Ah, but if you go down further in verse 14. What did the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour? And he saith unto the Jews, this is Pilate, behold your king. Now they didn't like that. And of course they put on the cross the king of the Jews. You see that down in large letters in verse 19. They wrote a title, put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And he is king. And he was king when he was crucified. And he was king when he allowed the men to put the wreath upon his head. He was in control of everything that day. He had it planned from eternity that he would take our curse. You see, that wreath of wickedness became a crown of conquest that day. He bore it, and he is king. Oh yes, they mocked him and said, he's no king, but he is. He's king of the Jews, king of kings, and Lord of lords. Over in Hebrews 2 and 9 it says, we see Jesus crowned with glory and honour. And if you're a believer tonight, you see him crowned. He's crowned in glory today. But when you look at Calvary, you still see him in all his glory and wonder. You know, they say back in Roman times that they used to have the battles in the circus, they called it, the arena. And different gladiators would fight. And the winner got the laurel wreath. In fact, they tell you in history that sometimes the wreath would be sitting there, and whoever won the battle would go and take it and place it upon his head. And thank God the Lord Jesus Christ is crowned with glory and honour. Listen, he's king tonight. What that means is this, he's royalty. He was king even at that moment because he had it planned. He's king over national life. Listen, his laws are mocked today. I was thinking a few years ago on that TV program, Let's Talk, they had that so-called expert, Claire Rayner, was on it. And she, something came up, I forget, some moral question. And I remember she said this. She said, never mind the scriptures. Isn't that what many people in society say today? Never mind the Bible. Politicians supposedly think they're going to rule the country by God's laws. Who do they think they are? That's the way the world mocks. But listen, Jesus Christ is King of Kings. He does have a right to rule nationally. He is the King over all. The King over all. It's interesting, verse 10, by the way. Just look at it very quickly. Verse 10 is interesting. It gives you really a description of people that it just described. Then saith Pilate unto him, Christ, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Pilate saying, do you not realize the great power I have as ruler? And remember, Christ has already been crowned with thorns at this time. And Christ looked at him and said, you have no power. Heaven has the power. That's a tremendous thought. Jesus Christ has all authority and power over all national life of this universe, this world. He rules. One of the Kenyans we were talking to mentioned, or I think it was George telling me, that some Kenyans were over many years ago and they went for a short trip to Scotland and they went to visit the site of John Brown's martyrdom. John Brown, one of the Covenanters, was put to death. He was caught with a Bible in his house in the 1680s. He was a man with a very bad speech impediment of a stutter. And yet he was not a preacher himself for that reason. But he would teach young men the scripture in his house. And word got around about that in Claverhouse, Bloody Dundee, he's called in history, because of his hatred of the Covenanters, our Presbyterian forefathers. He came and they brought John Brown out. And it says that his stutter went as he witnessed to the Lord Jesus Christ. At the wedding ceremony a few years earlier, Sandy Peden, nicknamed the Prophet of the Covenant, told his wife at the wedding, keep a winding sheet ready to wrap your husband in. In other words, your husband's going to die a violent death for Christ. The soldiers
wouldn't obey Claverhouse's order to kill John Brown because they knew he was such a godly man and known in the community. So Claverhouse got off the horse and put the musket to John Brown's brains and blew his brains off. His wife went over to the body of her dead husband. And Claverhouse sneeringly said, "What do you think of your husband now?" It's reported that she replied, "More than ever I did." And he said, "Housewoman, or I'll do the same to you." And that brave Covenantine wife looked up at him and said, "Only if God allows you. Only if the Lord allows you." Even with her husband dead beside her, she knew that God is in control. The Lord Jesus Christ rules this world. Claverhouse came off with a blasphemy against the Savior of what he would do when he met the Savior face to face. What a foolish man. Jesus Christ is Lord. That wreath of it reminds us that he is king. And he's king of national life. And listen, he's king of personal life. He needs to be your king. Now, he's king over your life whether you realize it or not, in the sense that he's the ruler of this universe. But what we mean is it your king? Can you say tonight, there's a time in my life when I've trusted him as Savior and he's the king of my life? You see, he's the king of eternal life. There's a day coming when the book of Revelation says the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of his dear Son. Revelation 19 says there's a day coming when every knee shall bow and he'll be acknowledged as King of kings and Lord of lords. You know the amazing thing? Some of the soldiers who were there at the crucifixion believed in Christ, were converted. They'd mocked him, but they were converted. The centurion was. There was a thief beside the Savior who mocked him, but then he too was converted. And he said, "Remember me, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom." That thief realized that the man dying beside him was going to be raised from the dead, and he realized there was a spiritual, eternal kingdom. Do you? Do you realize tonight that this world isn't all there is? The world that we see? There's an eternal kingdom. And Jesus Christ is king of that kingdom. And you need to know him as Lord and Savior. So think of the thorns. Crown of thorns reminds us of the necessity of the cross, of the royalty. When you look at that scene in your mind, do you look with a sense of apathy? What does it matter to me? How terrible. Do you look with an attitude of sympathy? Isn't it terrible what they did to the Savior? Listen, you need to look with an attitude of penitence, repentance, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say tonight, in the words of the hymn we're about to sing, "My Jesus, I love thee. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow." Let's turn to that hymn 371.